Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Tonight's show, what to do about a sexless relationship, tips for casual sex done right, help for a five-minute man, and what to do when you have a fantasy your partner can't quite fulfill. All this and more. Enjoy the show. Okay, here's the dealio, guys. You know that I'm always talking about products that will improve your sex life. And there is one product that has truly changed my sex life. And not only when I'm like using it, but like by myself, it changed. Like when I'm walking around day-to-day life, when I'm having sex, I think about sex more because of this product. It is called the Intensity by Pour Moi. Have you ever been at the gym, like on the treadmill, and you thought, you know, it'd be great if I could be eating pizza and exercising at the same time? Or, God, I wish these push-ups would at least give me an orgasm. Well, unfortunately, we rarely get to experience pleasure while maintaining our health and well-being until now. So the reason why I'm feeling so awesome is because I'm always talking to you about the benefits of doing Kegel exercises, especially for women. Men can do them too, but what I'm talking about is a product for women. And you know that your pelvic floor is key to having stronger orgasms, helps you stay tighter down there. I know women worry about this stuff. And also helps you with, like, you know, when you sneeze sometimes and you pee, all this stuff. All your Kegel exercises will help you with this. There is now a product. It is actually created by a doctor, but it looks like a rabbit vibrator. It does your goddamn Kegel exercises for you. You stick it in. It takes 5 minutes, and it has this electrostimulation to it, and it goes, and you feel it. And I realized that even though I have, like, my iPhone app, Kegel Camp, reminds you to do them, I realized that I might have been doing them wrong because this does it right. It targets the muscles. It actually feels really, really good. And then it's like a rabbit vibe. You have a little orgasm after or before. It's up to you. But the point is, now that these muscles are so strong, I'm having stronger orgasms. I'm getting, like, more turned on just walking around. It's weird. It's like when your pelvic floor is strong, you just, like, feel ready for sex and your orgasms are stronger. And I don't sneeze and pee. How about that, Anderson? Check out the Intensity by Pour Moi. Go to pourmoi.com, P-O-U-R-M-O-I. It is probably the one. If you had to pick about all the toys and all the products I talk about, I would say if you really want to change your sex life, take it to the next level, this is what you got to invest in. So get the Pour Moi and thank me later. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But, you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. Well, you can listen to our podcasts. You can listen to them. You can subscribe to them. Or you can go to iTunes, download the podcast app, Podcast One, Stitcher. There's so many great ways to listen to podcasts. Oh, and here's another thing. I know you're all on Instagram, so why the hell aren't you following me? It's at Sex with Emily on Instagram. Okay. It's a good time. And Twitter, at Sex with Emily. And Facebook, what, Anderson? Do you follow me?
You follow me on Instagram?
Are you on Instagram?
I just started again. I took 143 weeks off. And the wife cracked the whip. She's like, listen, Anderson. You got stuff coming up. You're doing things with your life. You're making films. You're having shows. You need to be back on Instagram.
You do.
I feel like it's punk rock to just ignore all social media. But she's right. I got to get back on there.
She's so right. What is your friggin' Instagram?
So it's Anderson Cowan, C-O-W-A-N. And I don't post too much. I post like once every other day or so.
So you won't be like filling up my feed. But when you do, I'll be so fulfilled.
What?
Like, you won't be one of those people who post like five times a day, but when you do, I'll be so excited.
It'll be good stuff. Yeah.
Those are the best people.
Yeah.
Anderson Cowan, and you do have a lot coming up. I'm so proud of it. I feel like you've blossomed before my eyes. I mean, you're a fully developed human, but I feel like professionally, like, all your dreams have like come true.
I even got business cards. Here's the inherent problem with me, and I think there's a lot of people out there that are kind of like me, and we're punk rock, and we're like, F the man, we can do our own
thing. That's so you. You're like F everyone.
Kind of play the game a little bit, and now that I got a wife who's kind of telling me what's up, it's like, I know it feels like I have an excuse now. Like, oh, my wife told me to.
You know what I mean? You can blame it on her and say, like, I still hate the man, but I love my wife.
But the After Disaster, we just did our 300th episode. We had a 5-year anniversary and 300th episode fall in the same week, so we just did a show live from the old LA Zoo, which is an abandoned LA Zoo.
You guys are awesome. You guys do the most fun shows.
We had like a homeless guy who was like shooting heroin right above us, watching and listening to our show while we did it. But yeah,
do you think you made him quit or do more?
Yeah, he wanted a confrontation. I think he wanted to steal our stuff. We got out of there before the night got dark.
Okay.
Because, it was getting a little dicey in there at the old LA Zoo. It's really cool, though. If you live in the LA area.
They let you in the LA Zoo to do a podcast.
In the Griffith Park, they have the actual zoo that closed down in 1965 where they had the exhibits and the actual animals. And it's still open to the public. You can have picnics in there.
I've never been. It's really cool.
We went to the part that you're not allowed to go to. We broke through
such a rebel.
We were rebels, yeah. And we were kind of in a dangerous, precarious area. But like, there's a fence break, and you can go in, and there's a bunch of people up there. There's models having their pictures taken.
Oh my God, it's very fun. I need to go there. I like have all these things I'm trying to check off my LA list since I've been here for three years now.
That should be one of them. You done Runyon Canyon?
Yes. Yeah. Do you know that Runyon Canyon is right behind my office? I could walk three steps. I'm at Runyon Canyon. I've been once.
That's where all the celebrities like to walk their
dogs.
That's
why I hate it.
Yeah.
Okay, because I moved from Northern California where it's like we have Muir Woods and all these beautiful like mountains and things to hike and climb. And here it's like Runyon Canyon's the one place. It's like dirty.
For those of you outside LA, Runyon Canyon is like an old, like it's almost like a housing tract that got denied by the city. So they still have it. That's what it is. So they still have like ways to walk around it in the hills. But it's not that pretty.
It's not pretty. Just like an incline. No, you get like a nice ass. And it's kind of like, you know, whenever they're like celebrities hiking in LA, it's like that's where they are. They're all on this one goddamn like landfill path. I'm bashing LA now. No, but I am.
You are an LA basher, but most people are.
No, I'm not. I actually love LA. I don't miss San Francisco just because I think I really needed the change. And it's been great for business and making new friends and
stuff.
Even
people who were born and raised here hate LA.
Really? There's a great documentary
called LA, Los Angeles Plays Itself. And it's from a guy
who's
from LA who loves Los Angeles. And he even goes in depth about how Los Angeles calls itself LA. Because people are embarrassed to say the full Los Angeles. Like San Francisco, they don't call it SF. They always say full San Francisco.
We don't say San Fran. Do you know how you know that
never
someone...
Never say Frisco.
Never say San Fran. Never say Frisco. But I say SF.
Do you? Well, you're a trendsetter.
Well, I was there for 20 years. But yeah, that's true. Okay, but Anderson, back to you. So when can people... Tell me about your event with all your films.
You're going to be there, right?
Dude.
It's September 26th. It's a Saturday night. And it's going to be where you've done events actually before. It's going to be at this place called Busby's East and the Mile High Club. And it's like a very swanky, sweet little
lobby.
It holds 250 people sitting comfortably.
Right.
500 standing. I'm not going to pack them in too much. I'm selling tickets a month from this coming Saturday. I don't know when this is.
Well, right. It's September 10th. So your events...
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's in like 2 weeks. All right. So I'll be cutting off tickets
soon. Oh, wow. So where do they go get it?
AndersonCowan.com. AndersonCowan, C-O-W-A-N.
Just like the Instagram.
And I've got a PayPal thing. And you're going to be there.
Yeah. I will be there.
It's $15. I'm going to show 10 shorts. Dr. Drew is going to be there supporting me. A lot of my friends, a lot of people that are in the movies are going to be there.
Wow. And Anderson's an award-winning filmmaker.
Yeah, I can actually say that. Literally, yeah.
Yeah, I was there.
I got a... My movies are a little bit, they're dark comedies. They're funny. They're goofy.
Yeah,
but
they're great.
I'm going to show 10 short films. Okay? Short films. I'm going to be talking in between.
Right, not 10 long films.
Not 10 long.
When you first told me, I'm like, how long are they? Because I have ADD.
If I put them all back
short films are perfect.
It's an hour and 15 minutes long.
Oh my God, it's going to be such a great night. I'm so excited.
It's a bar, 21 and over. It's a bar, and you can get finger foods there. It's going to be a good time.
Okay.
It's going to be a good time.
We're all going to be there to support you. And I want to meet my people. Because, like, I did my, so congratulations on that. And we'll all be there.
How was your anal month?
Backdoor pleasure. Well, let me tell you, it was really interesting. So I did a workshop called Backdoor Basics at Hustler Hollywood. Now I'm teaching workshops once a month at Hustler Hollywood. And I have to say, this one was really interesting. It was amazing. I had a great turnout. And again, I love meeting my listeners. They come. It's like, you know how it is. We sit in this box. We don't get to meet people.
Yeah. You're doing a vacuum.
I love it. So I want all my listeners to go see Anderson too. And I wanted to see you all again because that was like
when you came to the After Disaster live show at the Improv.
That
was really
super
fun. Yeah.
Dude. You sold out. All your t-shirts were gone. Yeah. I'm like, dude, you're just a rock star.
We did fun.
But so Hustler Hollywood, it was a success, but it's interesting teaching a workshop about anal sex. Anal play.
Did you get any
creepers? No creepers. In fact, it's interesting. There's no creepers. We had a huge turnout and it was a great audience, but I was a little nervous teaching it, to be honest, because first of all, I was like, are people going to come and want to talk about anal sex? Mm-hmm. And then just anal sex is such a charged subject, which is why I think it's important to teach, because so many people need anal clarity. Mm-hmm. And they're so curious about it. We know you get questions all the time here. We got, my show, Loveline. And the problem with anal sex is that it's so confusing to people. They want to do it. They do it wrong because it's the kind of thing like it's painful. It hurts. So I had to get really specific and really detailed, but still make it fun and light because it's like anal sex.
Right.
And so I really like worked on it all week. Like I really worked hard.
Emily throws herself in.
I do.
Like, when she commits to something, like that's all she's going to think about for a week.
Like I was obsessed with anal sex for a week.
Always obsessed with anal sex.
Honest. But I wanted to teach in a way that it was just not just about like, you know, here's how you penetrate, but like here's like for men too, like
how
your
long
prostate.
Was your presentation?
An hour.
An
amazing
hour
PowerPoint.
Of
yeah.
Entry to the butt.
Yeah, but it was it was just like, I don't know, people laugh, but they learned a lot.
I would have been there if I wasn't working.
I know, dude, I totally get it. And so, I don't know, I was just so gratified, and I was at first like, God, is this going to be weird for people? And I think I just balanced it, and it was fun, and I have an amazing team, Madison, Lori, Alyssa, yeah. Eddie.
They all showed how to
fucking rock my world.
Butthole.
That's why things are so good now. I have such a good team. I just feel really good.
You're in a good place. Now,
I'm in a really
good
place.
Can you give like one tip that you gave maybe at the thing that you haven't really said here? Maybe
that's a really good question.
I can explain what you're doing.
Do you want me to talk about the male prostate? The prostate? The
perhaps,
only men
have
prostate.
Yeah. And I can help like paint a picture.
Okay. So the women have a G-spot. I talk about that a lot on the show.
The mysterious unicorn.
The mysterious G-spot. And, a lot of women, people, partners, God, it's so hard to sum this up. So anyway, women can't have orgasms through, anal sex sometimes because there's a thin membrane that separates the anus and the G-spot. But for men, there's their P-spot. They call it the prostate. And when stimulated, for a lot of men, they can have like amazing orgasms. It feels really good. But, men think they're gay or they think they're,
That's so stupid.
It's so stupid because the thing is, it's like, why? First of all, any sex act does not change your sexual orientation. It just means you're doing a sex act. And
if you're having sex with men, that makes you gay.
That means you're gay.
If you're a dude.
Yeah. But if you just like it, so I really was teaching things for men about like how to reach it, how to find it, like how their partners can do it and ways to like, because the thing is that for the men going into the butt, you directly stimulate it, but you can also indirectly stimulate it, the perineum. And there was a lot of guys there who were like, wow, I'm into it. And they were all buying like prostate toys after and to ask me like sincere questions, some with their girlfriends. So
mature
I feel
crowd.
Like, what?
Mature crowd. No one was like giggling. In the
audience. They were like serious and stayed and like eyes glued. And it was just, I should do it again. I should take the anal trip on the road.
Did you use fruit or anything?
I didn't use any fruit. No, but Lori, my assistant producer, she actually wore a strap-on to show everyone. She didn't penetrate anyone, though.
No,
but she was awesome. She does improv. She's
so
funny.
Do I know Lori?
You've not met Lori yet because she works. She needs to come in sometime. She's so awesome. I'll bring her to your thing. So, yeah, it was just really good. Oh, so this month, my Hustler workshop is going to, I don't have the exact date yet. It's going to be the last week in September, and it's going to be a back to school theme, like sex ed 101, kind of what you didn't learn in sex ed, and just like little sex hacks, things that will like change your sex life that you thought you knew but you don't really know. And I'm going to explain it. And it's going to be an awesome workshop. I don't have the exact date yet because it will be the week after Sexual Health Expo,
18th to 20th,
New York City,
October.
It's going to be September.
Okay.
It's like soon, and it is sexualhealthexpo.com. top sex educators in the country are going to be there for 2 days, just like having 1 hour workshops. Toys will be there. I'll be there giving a keynote on Saturday, and it's going to be a blast. So I will see you there. So anyway, the Hustler one's either going to be Tuesday or Wednesday the next week, like the 23rd or 24th. But I don't know yet. So check out our website.
I'd be there once again, but I run Loveline, and I'm there. I'm Lovelining from like 9 to midnight.
I love Loveline, though.
Oh, yeah.
I love getting to see you every week.
It sucks my life away.
Sucks your life.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got some sex in the news. It's actually
fuck
really
to the yes.
Fuck yeah, man. Okay.
Sorry for the language.
I apologize. You know, I don't usually swear on the show. Yeah. I always tell people, I'm like, I don't use profanity because Sex with Emily, like, saying that is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Just the show.
Fuck
they think
Emily.
I'm going to be swearing the whole time,
mm-hmm.
but I just had to.
I'm sorry. I got a filthy mouth. I apologize.
I like it. I like it. It's okay. Okay, so 18 porn acts you definitely didn't know.
What?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Yep. The pornography business isn't just a bunch of hot dogs being thrown into purses. It's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Hot dogs being thrown into purses?
Yeah.
What is this you're reading now? Where'd you get
I
this?
I don't know.
DVDA, if that's on there, I know that one.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know where it's from. Yeah, it's legit news. It's a story that actually has fascinating tips about
the
porn industry.
Well, let's source it. Okay.
To learn about, it's a multi-billion dollar industry and one fraught with secrets. To learn more about the thing that makes us clear our browser history. To learn about the thing that makes us clear our browser history mm-hmm. hourly,
mm-hmm.
we
hourly.
Talked with Jeez. Some of the world's most famous porn stars plus insiders, people from Brazzers, Fleshlight, and Girls Way for some juicy but not too juicy safe for work facts. So this is safe for work about porn. You'll never look at coconut oil the same way again. Number one, this is very interesting. Uh-huh. Okay, so this is just like what the porn people do.
Right.
Gummy bears play a big role in porn.
Never heard that.
Exactly. Yep, you read that right. According to Caden Cross, many girls who do anal, mm-hmm. speaking of anal, seem to subscribe to this porn logic that gummy bears just sit in the stomach as opposed to other foods which are digested as mm-hmm. food should be.
Mm-hmm.
Digestion is largely considered to be unwelcome guests at the anal sex table,
okay.
as you can imagine, because you don't want to all over the place.
Hey, hey, hey.
Many girls eat gummy bears in lieu of food mm-hmm. when they are scheduled to perform any sort of anal act.
Okay.
There is, I would assume, a wealth of evidence that would prove counterintuitive to this logic. Still, it prevails. This is why it's nearly impossible to visit a hardcore porn set that doesn't have gummy bears stashed in the supply box next to the baby wipes and the condoms.
Porn logic. This is ridiculous.
Number two, Utah pays
I can't wait for you to bring the gummy bear theory up to Dr. Drew.
Dude, it's the stupidest
scoff.
Thing ever. And all I'm saying is, like, actually, you know how people always... Another thing that came up is that enemas, people are always like, should I do an enema? Should I not? I'm like, no. But the
no.
truth is, if you... Just because you don't want to buy, like... you can buy the disposable enemas they sell at the drugstore, mm-hmm. but you want to rinse it out, the saline or whatever comes in it, and right. then you could fill it, rinse it out a few times. You fill it with warm water before engaging anal, right. like 3 hours
before.
You're saying
the stuff that comes with it is no good?
No.
No.
That's bad for you.
Okay.
But then you just squirt it up there if you're worried about it, mostly if you have a healthy bowel and healthy digestive
yes.
tract. You don't need to eat gummy bears and you don't need to enema, but if you do, that's what you do. You just don't do a coffee enema, don't do saline.
All right, the first tip proves that porn stars are just kind of stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's move on.
Not stupid. Utah pays for porn more than any other state.
That's
Mormons.
True
the U.S. state with the most paid online porn subscriptions is Utah.
Oh.
That's shockingly unshocking.
It's not shocking. You know why? Because they're honest people. They don't want to steal.
They don't want to steal and...
I don't think that they watch
do you
more
think
porn,
it has to do
but
with...
I think it's because they're good, honest Americans.
Like the Duggars?
Oh, that's funny.
Were they from Utah? I don't know.
Is funny because there's a whole movie industry called Clean Flicks where they actually take PG-13 and R-rated movies and they cut out the parts that Mormons would find offensive, re-edit the movies, and then distribute them to the Mormons. It's a real thing. There's actually a documentary called Clean Flicks.
Right. But they're watching Clean Flicks.
Porn.
They're on porn.
Yeah.
They're watching porn, which... is not shocking. You're right. Female porn stars work all month long. According to porn star Asa Akira.
When
a girl shoots a scene on her period, she uses a makeup sponge to keep from bleeding on camera.
Mm.
Joanna Angel confirmed this notion. Hopefully this will inspire some sort of MacGyver homage in a future film.
Joanna Angel, a former guest on the old
That's
Sex with
true.
Emily.
So whatever. She uses a makeup. I just feel like you take that day off.
Not these porn stars, evidently. They got to work all day,
That's
every
true.
Day.
You can't really be like, oh, but I don't know. It doesn't sound fun at all. That's not
think
hot.
At least
but there
a
is
Sabbath
a ritual.
Off.
But here's another one. There's a ritual that porn stars do before anal scenes.
Gummy bears.
Eva Lovia was a wealth of information when asked about the inner workings of the porn industry and offered this tidbit. There is an anal ritual for many girls. Yes, I said anal ritual. It usually involves a fast, an enema, and a random list of approved food. This is why civilian girls probably avoid it. I, for one, don't have one. I'm always partaken after a bottle of wine and a full meal and have had a blast. For my first scene on camera, I will probably participate in the anal ritual just for safety. No one wants oops caught on camera. So I guess they do the enema. Hopefully it's a water enema. According to porn star Anika Albright, a lot of girls clean their behinds out with methods as shower enemas and colonics. Don't do that either, people. Shower enema is fine if just the water coming out. I've told you, I taught this.
Yeah.
It does a deep cleaning of the large intestines, so we just have clean and sexy fun for our fans to enjoy.
You know what's not sexy, this talk.
Talking about anal? I agree.
I like how
I'm so over anal sex month.
Non-porn stars, civilians, suggesting that porn stars are in some kind of military branch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's true.
Nice.
People use porn to get through the Mondays. According to Pornhub, the most popular day of the week for traffic on its website is Monday, and the least popular is Saturday. Do you think it's because everyone's getting laid on Saturday?
Actual flesh on, yeah.
They're getting their flesh on.
Yeah.
There is definitely a method to filming a professional porn scene. To speed up shooting, each camera adds runtime to a scene. So if two cameras are being used, each position they would shoot for 4 minutes. That gives you 8 minutes of each position. Then we switch positions, speeds up the process. However, even with that method, a scene that plays for 30 minutes after editing may take a total of 6 hours.
Do you need 30 minutes of porn? I mean, you need like
three. I was in a porn set once. It's really fun.
Four minutes.
It takes
tops.
All day to shoot like one scene.
It's absurd.
Like, I know.
It's ridiculous.
I know. It's true. Kim Kardashian is more popular than Lisa Ann or Mia Khalifa. The most searched individual on Pornhub is Kim Kardashian.
I'm sure
Kanye is very proud.
That's just sad. I have a friend who edits porn to make extra money. I don't understand how he doesn't like just constantly want to stop and, you know, go at himself. It'd be kind of tough to watching like attractive people
because it
banging.
Becomes like work after a while. Yeah. Like, I don't sit at work. I'm writing like I'm at work like reading, talking about toys. I don't like you guys. I gotta go to the bathroom. And but I'm a woman.
Yeah, you are.
But still, men are, you know. But I think after a while, you just look at it and you're like, oh, there's a penis. And the last one, this is actually something else that's important. S happens. When asked to tell us something interesting that people may not know about porn, Christy Mack only had this to say. No one cares if you poop.
Why is this all anal related? And
dude, I'm sorry.
I thought there was 18. That's not 18. I feel like somebody culled only the anal ones for you.
Yeah, it's Madison's fault.
Come on, Maddie. What are you doing? I want to hear about the different sex positions and what you get paid most for. Because I've always heard the DVDA pays the most.
What?
Double vagina, double anal.
That's the
most expensive porn act you can do.
That's not in there.
That's according to the guys that do South Park. That's their band. The name of their band is DVDA.
Freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
That's all I got for you. I'm sorry it was so anal. That was the other thing, too. It was such an anal month. It was anal sex month.
Can we
I'm
get
just,
past
like, done.
It? Oh, yeah, it's over, right?
It's sex ed month now.
Yeah. Oh, that's better.
Okay, this is a great This is my favorite sex in the news story.
Okay.
I'm sorry I made y'all wait. Not really sorry, but here I go. How long until sex? For millennials, try 10 texts or less.
What?
10 texts or less get you laid.
How was I born?
I know, right?
So freaking early.
I know. I don't know. Why is this important? Because the three
I grew up during AIDS.
No, I didn't know.
Shit.
I know. No one was... No.
I mean, I had a lot of sex, but I can only imagine what I would have had
if
everyone wasn't
afraid.
You
could whip out 10 texts in 5 minutes, and you'd be getting laid in like 6 minutes. Listen to this. The three-date rule is dead. All hail to the 10-text rule. You don't have to buy them dinner. Long story short, an in-depth investigation by Mashable, who is a very credible site.
Mashable?
It's a website about tech stuff.
About potatoes?
No, it's actually a really good website about a lot of tech stuff going on in tech and things like that, trends. I like Mashable. Has revealed that the dating game is becoming quicker and quicker for millennials and that it's becoming commonplace to arrange to meet for sex in 10 texts or fewer. Longer story.
I gotta get a divorce.
Everyone knows that millennials are having more casual sex than past generations, but it seems casual sex is being taken to new levels. A report in the Archives of Sexual Behavior claims that in 2010, 45% of millennials had casual sex. Sorry about this next one. A significant increase of the 35% in the late 80s. Yeah.
Well, I was after that a little bit. But it was worse. I was in the Kurt Cobain, everything sucks, and everyone's dying of AIDS era.
Is that why you're so negative and hate the man?
No, because, I mean, I still found women that didn't care enough about
themselves. I know, you still got laid. We didn't know we were missing
out. But I had to, like, find... chicks that were like willing to have sex while drunk on like golf courses. You know what I mean?
Well, it wasn't, these girls like, are probably still getting drunk when they meet up with the guys. Mm-hmm. With the prevalence of dating apps like Tinder and text messages undoubtedly being the go-to method of communication, the hookup game has been described as the dating apocalypse in a recent and controversial Vanity Fair article. Have you heard about this Vanity Fair article?
Apocalypse.
Yeah, I keep reading. I haven't read it yet, but I should. It was a Vanity Fair article called The Dating Apocalypse. I keep seeing it quoted. So the deal is Mashable research for the first time how quickly you can get from first text to the bedroom by asking hundreds of men and women about their sexual encounters. It seems that beating around the bush is no longer even necessary and that the DTF question, down to F, text has replaced the overblown faux romantic courting. The younger the dater is, I found, this is a quoting a therapist, I found the shorter the number of messages get exchanged prior to arranging a date or hookup. So if you're like 19, you're like, hi, what's your name? Stacy, what's your name? Bob. Okay, can I come over and fuck you? Game over.
You just cussed again. I would just like type like D and then send and then T, send, F. Now it's three texts.
Schmick, he's so clever.
And
right.
The fourth one would be a question mark.
You can
and
even
I think
do an emoticon.
Get in.
You can do an emoji.
No beating around the bush, just banging the bush.
Yeah, banging the bush.
Get
dude,
right
away. While many millennials argue that there's no harm if both parties are game, author Christopher Ryan, he wrote Sex at Dawn, which is a great book, has labeled the situation psychosexual obesity. Comparing the access to unlimited sexual partners to gorging on food. However, a study by sex toy company Love Honey earlier this year revealed that the five-date rule has replaced the three-date rule for women in Britain. So maybe romance isn't dead. Maybe we got to move to the UK.
Hello, governor.
Yeah. How many texts?
DTF.
I would love to hear from you guys. What do you guys think? How many texts does it take you before you hook up with someone? Email me. I want to know. I'm trying to think because I'm not really... And I would, to me, I want to talk to someone. I'm just old school. Like,
it took me like 2 months and probably hundreds of texts and phone calls, minutes with the wife. I mean,
but this is like the younger, like 18,
all right,
19.
You know what? You fucking 18 and 19 year olds, listen to this.
Use protection, people,
listen
all the friggin' time, no matter how drunk you are.
And you're not going to because you're dumb and you're young.
You're going to have herpes
coming.
For the rest of your
Guess
life.
Guess what's coming?
What?
AIDS 2.0.
Really?
It's going to be way worse. You watch out.
Are you making that up?
No, I mean, it's just a matter of time, right? Before
well,
Mother Nature takes
care of
things.
Something's
going to
happen. And you get one of these diseases, people, you have them for the rest of your life. And condoms today, if you use condoms, you're like, oh, it was bad. Try Skin. I'm obsessed with Skin. S-K-Y-N. Skin. They're thin. They feel amazing. They feel slick. And it's next to wearing nothing at all. It's their slogan. And it really feels that way. So check
when
that out.
When I was a kid, we had to use lamb skins.
Right?
Yeah. That's
did
a real thing.
Did you wear
thing.
Them all the time? I did. I was so nervous.
That was a real thing, though. They
I know.
Had lamb. Like intestines.
Lamb.
Wasn't
you
it
love,
intestines
you
or something?
Love animals.
I know.
You put lamb on your penis.
No, I didn't. But I know that was an option. Is that still an option?
Yeah, no, not really. They
that
are,
was a
but
thing,
they're not
though.
As good.
Did people realize
I
that?
I remember that. I remember that was a thing. And do you know that I went to prom? I just remember this with my boyfriend. We'd been dating like 7-8 months. I was like, I had not had sex with him yet. And I'm like, prom. It was my. We went to different high schools. So I got a hotel room.
Did you think you were going to be banging on prom?
No, for sure. I got a hotel room.
For sure you were going to bang on.
Well, like it was
and
obvious.
You hadn't banged yet.
Had not banged.
God, you're cliche. Okay.
I know.
I like it.
I was like a nice
cliche.
Midwestern
yeah.
girl. Like, we'd been dating for 8 months. I'm like, got a hotel room because everyone gets a hotel room at prom.
Right.
Do they do that in California?
Yeah.
Okay. So we get to the hotel room. We get to the room. We're at prom. We're, like, drinking. Get back to the room. And I wasn't, like, I'm still not a big drinker, but I probably had, like, two glasses of wine or something. I was drunk.
You're probably hammered.
He forgot goddamn condoms. I didn't have sex with him.
Oh, and did you pay for the room?
Yeah.
Well, fuck him anyways, then. How about that?
We went to Burger King instead, drive-thru.
No, that sounded wrong. Like, F him, like, for real, like, because he's cheap. He didn't pay for the room. He didn't even bring condoms. So F that guy. Don't actually F him. I'm glad you didn't.
I didn't F him. Eventually, I F
How
him.
How do you pay for the prom dates when you're the lady? What kind of...
Well, it was my high school, and then I went to his high school prom.
Oh, and he paid for the room there. Bring condoms, then. Get
your bang on. I don't even remember.
You don't remember.
I don't remember, yeah. I don't remember if we...
You remember the Burger King, but you don't remember.
I just remember
the
like, I was going to go to the drive-thru, which I don't know why we didn't go to 7-Eleven and get.
Wow. Condoms. Yeah, that's weird.
Anyway.
You guys had enough to muster a trip to Burger King drive-thru, but not to 7-Eleven. Something else. There's missing parts here. Maybe he had only sent you 9 texts.
But what I'm saying is, would people now be like, oh, F it, I'm just going to have sex without condoms? That's what I'm saying, you guys.
Depends on the person.
Just use condoms. Okay.
Depends on how drunk.
Let's, what?
Depends. I mean, I've had. There's been a number of times in the past where, like, condoms weren't available, and I'm like, yeah.
Well, that's what happens. You get all riled up for sex. And you're like, ah, that's one time.
Make this
and
happen.
You know what I've even heard people say? Oh, I know him really well. Or he's good friends with my friend. He said he's clean. He wouldn't lie. It's like, pff, right. Ridiculous. Either he might not
especially
be lying and doesn't know.
With this 10 text thing going on, guys. There's something out there.
Let's push
it's
to 20
text
at least.
Yeah.
Okay, now we can read some emails. But first, I would like, before we get into your questions, I need to tell y'all something really important. I need to tell you about the Fleshlight. It's the number one sex toy for men. It's the only one that you want because it looks and feel like it looks and feels like the real deal. It is a patented skin. It's a masturbation sleeve, okay? So it looks like looks like a vagina. Kind of. It's tight, has different, and they have different ridges. You can get so many different kinds. Maybe there's a porn star you like. Sometimes they model their vaginas after it. And I'm telling you, out of all the Fleshlights that my listeners have bought, no one's been like, I hated it, I didn't like it. Everyone's been like, holy moly, where has a Fleshlight been my entire life? Because you've got your hand, and that's it. You got a penis. I mean, you've got a penis. You've got, you go to vagina, you go to butt. But, you know, this is different than that. It's a different sensation, but it still feels great. You have amazing orgasms, mind-blowing for what I've heard from men. I do not have a penis. But goddamn, if I had a penis, I would use a Fleshlight every day. So it has a silky smooth feel for use with both the Fleshlight or your partner can use it on you. Check it out. Go to sexwithemily.com, click on the Fleshlight banner, use code Emily, and then you get a free bottle of their award-winning Flesh Lube, which is awesome. So check that out. Okay, so I want to thank everybody for emailing me at feedback@sexwithemily.com. I love hearing from you. I love your emails. I love everything. I especially love when you tell me how old you are and where you live. It helps us, right?
Creepy.
And also, did I mention that I really want you to follow me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook? It's all at sexwithemily, or Facebook is /sexwithemily.
She shows her boobs once a month.
I do, once a month, on the 12th of the month.
You're not supposed to give away the day.
Sorry, just keep looking for it. Okay, unfulfillable fantasies. Dear Emily, I've listened to your show for a long time, but this is my first time emailing. I'm 30, live in Seattle, and download your show via the app Downcast. Love your show. You'd be hard-pressed to find a voice better than yours to listen to for an hour.
Aww.
My question is about fantasies that can't be fulfilled by your partner. I'm happily married and have a very open communication marriage. My wife and I can talk about a lot of things in other relationships that might get avoided and cause issues. As you say, communication is lubrication. Even when it comes to sex, we're open books with each other. My problem is I find myself being very attracted to muscular women, like bodybuilders and fitness competitors. And it's becoming kind of an obsession. My wife is the exact opposite, small and petite. I'm not into being dominated, measuring their muscles. Yeah, that's a thing. Wrestling or anything like that. I just fantasize about having a normal, passionate sexual experience. I know this doesn't make me weird. It's just a fetish. Everyone has them, and different things appeal to different people. I'm wondering if you have any advice on how to handle fantasies that your partner literally can't fulfill. And even though I can talk to my wife about almost anything, I don't want her to know about this desire because I can only imagine how it would negatively affect her confidence. What do I do? Stuck between a rock and a hard place. Chad.
He wishes he was. Between a rock and a big, hard woman.
I know. I get it. Okay, Chad, first of all, thanks for the sweet things and thanks for listening to the show. I love hearing that. And you're 30, live in Seattle. I'm not sure how long you guys have been married, but it sounds like you've really great communication, so kudos to you. I love how sensitive you are to your boy's feelings. I love that you guys communicate about everything and you have open communication. That's amazing because we don't hear that a lot. A lot of people who are in long-term relationships, they do have fantasies outside their partners. Right, Anderson?
No.
For people that you've heard of? It just happens, okay?
I think they did a study recently where, like, they were looking at what guys look at on the old internet there, and a lot of the time it is very different from what they are actually going
right.
to sleep with.
Variety.
Yeah.
Variety is the spice of life and the variety of your sex life. There are a lot of times, for men especially, and I'm not saying women don't want this too, but the reason why, like, they cheat or they go outside the marriage or, yeah, it's because it's like the opposite of what they have because you want. You
strange.
Know, yeah, you have a really hot wife, blonde, you know, blue eyes. You're like, oh, it'd be nice to be with a small brunette. I get it. So this is common. That's part of what makes it a fantasy. That's outside your regular sexual experience. Totally fine. Normal to have this fantasy. But what troubles me, Chad, is when you said it became an obsession. Mm. And that was a trigger for me.
People use that word a lot.
I know. So I'm wondering.
Especially ladies.
And then he also used the word fetish, which is very different than a fantasy. Because if you have a fetish.
Fetish. Yeah, I think he's misusing the language.
Well, I'm not sure. Fetish means that you have to have that.
You can't get off without it,
right? So they're normal until it starts to interfere with your life and your relationship. So your hands might be tied at this one. Tied on this one. You have two choices. Bottom line, Chad. You accept the fact that this fantasy won't be a reality, mm-hmm. or you step outside your relationship to scratch the itch and risk your relationship. But I would not recommend that at all. So I would recommend that you, and you know, if you feel that you can't live without this, that you'd have to end your relationship first. So I don't recommend that. So you love your partner and you're committed to her. So you have to find a way to come to terms with this fantasy, you know, and the reality staying separate.
With stuff.
But apparently he's probably jacking off to it, Chad, right? But it's not really helping you. So you can gently bring up your fascination, like as an interest with your partner. Like you could watch some porn together. You're like, oh, I find, you know, maybe kind of mix up some things and like say, like, I kind of find this hot, this woman, you know.
Yeah, that's not going to fly.
Find something that titillates her as
not
well.
Everyone's as cool as you am. I could see this really hurting this lady.
I think he just has to rely on his imagination, though, and just like, here's the thing, Chad. You love your wife. I do not recommend cheating. And I got to be honest with you. When I read this, there was something in it that thought, I wonder if he's already done something. And I don't know why.
Oh, you get that feeling.
I had a feeling when I read it. There were so many things that went off because I was like, obsession, fetish. And I wonder if it's just like, did it just like hit you over the head one day? Are you working out a lot more? And you, all of a sudden there's all these muscle, you know, muscular women at the gym. This is what I want to know.
Maybe you get some therapy and figure out where it comes from.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying.
Maybe you're touched.
So I don't think you want to cheat on your wife. You sound like a lovely man, Chad. So if all these terms that you're throwing out there, obsession, fetish, and you can't get over it, and I agree, no woman wants to hear, even though we all understand, or a lot of us understand, that it's about variety and it's not about us, and I can't ever have like double D's and be a tall blonde for my boyfriend if I had one right now. The obsession can have a negative effect on your relationship and cause problems. So I would say see a therapist. You could see a sex therapist, someone who's like specializes in fantasies and fetishes, and like talk to them about this. If you really feel like it's becoming something that you can't even have sex with your wife without, you know.
Yeah, he didn't say that. He didn't say like he can no longer actually perform with his wife because it's literally a fetish and she's not buff enough. What if you bought her some like body armor? You know those shirts that make you look a little buffer?
How about those shirts that have the muscles painted on it?
Yeah, paint on it.
Exactly. It has like a bikini and like you're like really muscly. Mm. I mean, this is a tough one because I just have to say like you don't want to cheat on her. It will offend her if you tell her you're attracted to this. So I just say in your alone time, totally fine for you to look for some porn that has some muscular women in it. Right. It's totally fine for you to fantasize about it, whatever, when you're masturbating. But I think that your wife won't be down.
If the relationship's otherwise fine, this is definitely worth seeking out some therapy.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know what? Here's my other thing, you guys. Everyone needs therapy. I said it.
That's what I've heard.
I really believe that you don't have to be in crisis. You don't have to be like falling down, like something's like falling apart in your life. In fact, the best time to go to therapy is when things are pretty good, but you just kind of want to understand things more, because on our own, it's really hard to process things. Like just whatever it is that's going on in your life, it gives you deeper understanding for who you are, you know, the origin of these fantasies or just whatever's going on. Go find a therapist and check in for a while. Don't you think? Have you been to therapy? Mm. Oh, I know you've got issues with
no,
it.
I
yeah,
don't.
That explains everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wife's a social worker. Dad was a psychologist. So that's kind of, I've been around it a lot. But when I saw my dad, who was a fucking freak, you know, flipping out on his kids all the time, and I know that he like administered anger management to his patients. Not only that, he actually trained other psychologists on how to administer anger management. It kind of made me
question See, that's, the whole that field. That makes me upset because I feel you like know? You could use something to help.
I'm sure I could.
Chad, I feel like I hope that helped. But also, like in Seattle, if you want some recommendations, you know, I actually know Charlie Glickman. He's been on my show, and he is actually a sex therapist. And he just moved to Seattle. Mm-hmm. So you might want to look him up because you might want to go see him
Charlie
once or twice.
Charlie Glickman.
Yeah, see him face to face. If you can't get this out of your mind, Chad, go do that.
And Glickman. If you're ever out here, Chad, the Venice Boardwalk has Muscle Beach, and there's a lot of really hot, very muscular women out there strutting about. Right. You might enjoy yourself.
And there's ways to also switch your thoughts, like just to like, you know, be like, I'm going to focus on like enhancing things with my partner, getting closer to her in other ways. Like, are there other fantasies you have that could bring you guys closer together that she might have, and you could get into those fantasies and kind of see if this one can go away.
Yeah.
Can kind of put it in the back burner for now.
It's a marriage. You don't just give up on a marriage. Yeah. Right.
Okay, here's, we got another one for you. Dear Emily, hope all is going well. Your show is awesome. I've been listening for a while now and love it. I'm a 22-year-old male virgin from New York City who has no luck with women. I have plenty of female friends that I like a lot. The trouble is I've never been in a relationship and it freaks me out sometimes. When I try to take a girl to the next level, I'm usually told one excuse or another. When I try to be more romantically aggressive and not to be seen as just a friend, I feel like girls think I'm a creep. I have a lot of friends, and I don't get why I can't develop something beyond a friendship. I've been told that I'm decently attractive. I'm somewhat smart, I think. I'm halfway done with medical school at 22.
Wow.
I'd say you're smart. Yeah. And I'm good at holding conversations. Do you have any advice of taking to the next level without coming off as a creep, just trying to get in a girl's pants? Thanks, Jarrett.
The reason why I chortled there is because
chortled? It's a great
I
word.
Heard that he, when he said that he's been told that he's decently attractive, that's not a good sign. I mean, whoever's telling you that you're decently attractive.
No, but he also has a little bit low self-esteem here because he said, I'm decently attractive. I'm somewhat smart. I think I'm halfway through medical school.
Halfway through medical
school,
so
I think there's a little self-esteem thing going on and he's doubting himself. I think we got to work on your confidence, Jarrett.
Up in his head.
So, Jarrett, here's the thing. Confidence is the number one skill that we all need to cultivate. We need to learn to love ourselves. We need to learn to be more confident. However you can do that. Again, therapy is really helpful for people. But just some of the language that you're kind of beating yourself up here, and you're halfway through medical school at 22, and I'm sure you are attractive. So I'm wondering, do girls think you're creepy if you ask them a date, or is that just your insecurity talking? How do you know they think you're creep? Like, he's like making assumptions.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that that's really true. Jarrett, I'm not there. So it may not be what you're thinking. You know, there's nothing creepy about going up to a girl and saying, like, let's go out on a date. If you ask her to your dorm room, you know, at 3 a.m. when you're wasted, mm-hmm. like, maybe that's creepy.
Is that creepy?
Well, it happens all the time.
Worked for me.
So there's an also unspoken creep line that occurs when a guy wants to be friends. Like, if you're like, I've got all these friends, but then you try to hook up with them when you're drunk, too. That's kind of messed up.
Girls can smell that, right? You can smell that. You can
totally.
That
I'm like, well, here's the thing. And for all the women listening, if you're in college and you're in your 20s and some guy just wants to be friends with you, says he wants to be buddies, he wants to sleep with you.
He wants to bang.
Like, tell me if I'm wrong, Anderson. I was never a 20-something boy. Mm-hmm. But were you ever like, man, were you ever like, oh, I think she'd make a great friend that you don't want to sleep with her?
I'm not a great gauge for this because I did have a lot of, I went through some shit, Em, and I gave up on all guys. I thought they were just evil pieces of shit that just took advantage of women.
Right.
And I ended up only having friends that were girls, like a gay guy almost, for probably about 2 years.
You didn't want to sleep with any of them? Or did you?
I did sleep with some of them by mistake, and you know, there's drunken nights and threesomes occurred, and that kind of thing.
But, okay, you proved my point.
But I did have some girls that I did not find attractive at all that I cared for deeply, and I'm still friends with.
Yeah, but you're a good guy. That's true. But I'm just saying that, like, I'm just saying.
But for
typically,
the most part, I think most guys. I mean, you listen to Loveline at all, and Catherwood, you know, he's a dirtbag, and he admits it. And he says, "I've never wanted to be a friend with a girl."
Right. I mean, when you get older,
I want to bang them.
Right. It's true. And a lot of my best guy friends, it all started out like they wanted a date, and we did become friends eventually.
Afterwards,
but it starts out, they're not like, "Oh, I really think Emily would make a great friend."
Right.
They're like, "Oh, I think I'd like to bang her."
But it comes with maturity. Like, you're a great friend. I don't want to bang you.
Right. I know.
Yeah.
And it also, I mean, I don't think you do at all. And I also think it helps when people are in relationships too. It's easier to be friends. But if you're having trouble meeting women, like, organically, Jarrett, because I'm wondering if that's it too. Because you say you have lots of friends, but why don't you talk to one of your friends who's, you know, single or even has a girlfriend, and it doesn't matter, but to say to them, you know, I'm a good guy. Like, who can you fix me up with? It's kind of like when you're looking for a job and you let everyone know that you're single, and then they'll start thinking of you when they're out with their friends and be like, oh, yeah, I've got this great friend. Because it sounds like you said you have a lot of friends. You can also get involved in activities that incorporate your interests. I know you're like in medical school and you're studying really hard right now.
Cadavers.
So I'm wondering if you even take time. Practice on cadavers?
Yeah. You like cadavers? I like them too.
No, but like, do things that are different.
He's not going to have any time coming up pretty soon. If he's half with your medical school, I mean,
and
I don't know how he has time
right
now.
Too.
Yikes. Yeah.
I just feel like there's a lot of negative self-talk going on here, and I'm wondering just where that's coming from.
I think you're right, Em. I think he's up in his head, and he's self-doubting, and he's making himself into creepy because he's worried that he is creepy.
Exactly.
And
I think he's like
creepy,
actually a really good guy, and that so many women, if they could see this real part of you.
Yeah.
I think you have to just practice, like, you know how you are with your friends, Jarrett, and it's just, this is what I always tell guys, you gotta channel this. You know when you're hanging out with your best guy friends and you're not thinking about anything, you're just being yourself, you're telling jokes, like, Jarrett, buddy, you're hilarious. Remember that time in high school, blah, blah, blah? Mm. When you're hanging out with chicks, like, I know some guys are like, dude, they just change, they get nervous. But can you just kind of think about, like, before you go out, like, who you are, and, like, get into your body and start to feel like the confident Jared. When you're talking to women, you're talking to men, bring that Jared out.
Yeah.
Because I think you're a good guy.
I think I told you this. I used to pretend girls were guys. Like, when I would get really nervous around them, I'd go, like, to the bathroom or whatever. And I'd pretend, like, when I was in the bathroom, I'd psych myself out and say, when you're going back to the table, pretend that it's just some, like, effeminate dude. And talk to him like you would a friend. And if you still like her and you're thinking of her as a guy, she's good.
It's all
and
it in makes our
you,
minds.
It makes you a and lot less worked. Nervous, too. Yeah, I totally did.
Yeah.
And sometimes I go back to the table and be like, wow, if she was a dude, I would have no interest in talking to her. And this date's like coming to an end soon.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right, exactly. Because then you realize, like, oh, there's not a lot of conversation.
The only reason why I'm in this is physically. And that's not cool.
Exactly. Good. That's really mature.
Yeah.
So just relax, Jared. Be honest with yourself. Don't put on too much pressure. If you're like, just, I feel like you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. You can also, again, try dating apps. Apparently, it just takes 10 texts or less. No, don't try that.
Yeah, just start texting randoms.
But no, I mean, you could just try some different things. But I think, again, take the pressure off yourself. And also, your guy friends that you trust to start going out with them and trust that, you know, to have them fix you up. So I think that you're just, I don't think you're, I don't think anyone's ever called you a creep. I think you're calling yourself a creep.
And also, 20, I can tell you, being a guy, if I was still 22 and I wasn't, I'm still a virgin, like, it weighs on you and you think about it more often than you should. He's going to be a doctor, it sounds like. You're going to have plenty of time. Right. And you're going to, once it comes, man, it'll be fine.
The guy who forgot the condoms was a medical, was a doctor. Pre-med.
Yeah. Was he a virgin?
He wasn't a virgin.
Not after you.
But we actually dated for another year or two. And when he went to college and was pre-med. And then he was kind of boring.
You friends?
I broke up with him.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Now we are friends. Facebook friends.
And he's boring. And he listens to the program, perhaps.
I hope
he knows
doesn't.
Exactly who he
you
is.
You know what's so funny is that everyone tells me they don't listen, like, guys I date. And I've had all these.
Yeah.
They all listen.
Yeah.
And they lie.
Yeah.
And then they, like, get mad at me for things and then they don't tell me. I'm like, what? What? Oh, so you went to the museum on Saturday with a date.
Sounds like you're dating chicks.
I am dating chicks.
That sounds like it.
Okay, a premarital sexless marriage.
Ooh.
Why get married?
Yeah.
Dear Emily, my partner and I have only had sex once in the last year. We are 5 years into our relationship and deeply in love and are actually getting married later this year. We're very affectionate with each other, but it just never seems to evolve into actual sex.
What?
We've talked about this a few times, but it seems to make it harder for me. He has told me that due to past experiences when he was younger, he is just not that into sex. Part of what turns me on about sex is my partner wanting it. So hearing this, that he's not into it, I have a lot of trouble trying to initiate. Understandably, it feels hurtful to be rejected, so I just stop trying. I have tried to masturbate to get some release, but I usually just end in frustration or tears because all I can think about is my partner doesn't want me anymore.
This poor lady.
I know I definitely want to marry this man, but how can we work together on our sex life, Alice?
Do you, Alice?
Okay.
Can I ask you a question before you move on? Where would you say, percentage-wise, sex lies in a relationship? On the pie chart.
I think it's like a big... Okay, here's the thing.
Would you say 50, 33?
I can't... I would say that sex is the glue.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have sexual chemistry with your partner and if you don't go into it with great sex, your relationship will fizzle and die.
And even with chemistry and pheromones lacking and whatnot, you're just not going to
be as close.
It's
still going to dwindle and change. But if you don't have it in the beginning, it's not like you can muster it up later.
Better, yeah.
Right.
Without a lot of work.
And so they say, they actually say that couples, when sex isn't a problem in their relationship, it takes up like 1 or 2% of their thoughts. Uh-huh. But when it becomes the problem, like the elephant in the room, it's like 75-90% of the problem. So that's why it's hard to say. If you have a healthy, flourishing sex life where you're communicating, it's all good, then you go about your relationships great. But you do need that as the glue. So, Alice, I want you to know that just like most women on the planet, you want to be desired by your partner. And when you're not, you feel like crap. So it makes sense that you don't want to initiate sex with him because she feels that she's going to be rejected.
The rejection's coming.
And he's already rejected you. He's just not that into sex. Alice, I'm telling you, you're clearly into sex. You're masturbating and it's ending in tears. And you're telling me you want to marry this guy. So you're already experiencing sexual challenges and it's a huge red flag.
She's going to bang her neighbors. She's going to get married and have an affair. I mean, it's going to happen.
Right.
And she's going to justify it in her head because, hey, she had to.
But, okay, here's nothing else. This has nothing to do with you. Nothing at all. So he's already telling you something happened when he was younger. It doesn't have to do with you. Do you understand? So it's not like he's not attracted to you. He's got some issues that have shut him down from sex. I don't know if he had, you know, early trauma. It's preventing him from being intimate. So, If it's not there at the beginning, like I said, it's just not going to be good in marriage.
Alice has to treat this like it's an illness.
Yeah.
Like he's got an illness and he needs to get it treated because it's affecting.
And so I hate to always say go to therapy, but he has to. Because if he, the fact that you just said past experiences when he was younger, he's onto sex. It's like, I feel like there's something, she's not really looking at Alice. You just, thank you for this email, because it's very, very clear to me that unless he works out whatever these issues are, if you don't deal with stuff, let me just tell you something. That's why everyone needs therapy. It doesn't go away. Mm-mm. Childhood trauma, when you don't treat it,
it's not like a rash.
It's going to manifest itself tenfold in your life. Yeah. And it'll start coming out in every single situation. So if you love this guy and you want to marry him, you have to get him into therapy. It's not a big deal. I'm sure his insurance covers it or something, and just take care of this, because I really want you, like, if you love him, perhaps he can have some breakthroughs. Maybe you go together, but do not pass go. Do not get married. Send him to therapy.
How, put it yourself in Alice's shoes. How would you break it to him? How would you, like, get
this across? I just think, babe, I love you so much, and you're the man of my dreams, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you, but I know that sex is just so important. You can, Alice, quote me. You can say you were listening to my show. You don't just say that you emailed. It is the glue. It is the glue in the relationship, and without it, you are roommates. And it sounds like right now, after 5 years, you've had sex once, she said?
Mm-hmm.
You're roommates.
She had sex once in the last year.
Yeah. Okay. But they've been together 5?
Yeah. He probably gave in, gave her what she wanted more in the beginning, but now that he's getting his way, it's once a year.
Yeah. This isn't good. This is not laying out the path for the future. What did you ask me? What would I do?
How would you break it? Which you've done.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I would say, babe, I love you. I want to be with you. But I just think that, I really want to help you figure this out, because I just don't think it's healthy that you don't have an interest in sex, because sex is beautiful and a thing that we could share together. And it makes me sad. And I love you. And I want to help you. So what can we do? What do you think about it? And here's the thing. Well, what do you think? And how would you react to that?
She can also rely on some research. Guys like numbers. Guys like research. You can go and do a little digging and find articles that suggest that marriages that go sexless end.
Yep.
And say you're worried about the future, you're worried about the two of you guys together, and then have some kind of cold, hard facts to back you up.
Exactly. Couples that don't prioritize their sex life, it will dwindle. Why do you think, the internet? Yeah, go to my website, Sex with Emily. I've got tons of articles on this and that's what my keynote, she is about, too, as well. It's about, couples, they talk about everything else. Like, we want to have 3.2 kids. We want to move to the country. We're going to invest in this 401k. But we're never going to talk about our sex life ever. Mm. Guess what? That's a disaster.
Yeah.
So thank you for emailing me, Alice. Keep me posted, and good luck to you. And that's all we got time for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a tight show, but it was a good show. Gotta throw a lot.
You had fun?
Yeah.
Me too.
That was a fun.
I know. I loved it, because when we were texting earlier, I was just had
a little
busy
bit mopey
day.
I could tell through the text.
I wasn't mopey. It's just been an intense week. Yeah. It's been an intense week, but an awesome week. And then you're like, we're going to have fun. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll pep you up. Come on in. We're going to have a good time.
I love you.
And it worked.
And I never feel like, the thing is, after, 10 years, mm-hmm. I never, I'm like, ugh.
You never?
But tonight, it wasn't like, ugh, I was just tired. I was wiped. I wasn't,
ugh. Oh, I got to go do a show with Anderson.
No, I was just a little bit like, I was a little wiped, drained.
See my insecurities coming out? I need therapy.
I love you. But the second I got here and I saw your face, everything was good.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thanks,
I love you, Anderson. And everyone go check out Anderson, AndersonCowan.com. And I love you all so much.
New Film Vault, too, this week. Oh, we do a new Film Vault every single week.
Oh,
that's my
tell
other
me,
show.
Podcast.
That's the one that actually is, we have an actual real following. We rank on iTunes all the time. It's an actual show. It's a service, the Film Vault. This week we did top 5 most confusing movies ever made, which pretty solid list there. David Lynch may or may not be discussed a little bit.
He must be.
And I also review.
I just felt dumb watching David Lynch in college.
That's
like,
what happens. And
I'm
then
like, God damn it, I'm dumb. I thought it was smart.
Seem smarter than they are. Like, say that they love the movies. I used to be one of those people a little bit more than I like to mention. But also, I review a really good new movie that I saw in theaters now called The End of the Tour, all about David Foster Wallace, played by Jason Segel. Jesse Eisenberg's in the
Oh my God,
as well.
Everyone, so, check your podcast, because you're already listening to podcasts now. Just skip over there. Okay, everyone, thanks so much for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay, everybody, here's the deal. It's time to spice up your sex life, and there's no better way to do it than buying a massage candle, because the aromatherapy, they smell amazing. You walk into the house, people always tell me, because who buy them, who have given them to as gifts, they're like, wow, even when you don't light it, it smells good. It's like that kind of candle, because they're amazing ingredients. Vanilla, we've got cocoa, we've got fougere, which is like sandalwood. And what happens is, they look like regular candles, but you light it and it turns into the most luxurious massage oil. It's warm, oil. You pour it on your partner. It's like coconut oil, soybean oil. And it can really like spice up your sex life because you start massaging each other. And I actually got an email from a listener who said, my girlfriend was skeptical at first, but agreed to try the warm oil on me. First, gave me a back rub. Then I reciprocated. We had amazing sex. She cannot stop talking about how good the candle smells and how great the massage oil feels. And I'm convinced, Emily, that the scent and the candle helped us through some of the barriers to sex that we faced lately. See, my products help people. EmilyandTony.com. Use code SEXWITHEMILY or Emily for 20% off your first order. Thanks for listening.